Welcome back to Amud V'Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis. I apologize for the lateness of this one. This is from the second Seder night, Sunday night. So, a little bit behind. We are on Tzadi Tes, the Zichru Siman for Tzadi Tes. So, it's one of those Simanim where the Tzadi becomes a CH sound, as you often have in Israel. So Tzadi Tes is not a tzat, but a chat, and it's going to be over here a cheetah. So that's the siman. It's going to be a cheetah. And the first zichru siman, or zichru point for the siman, is from Amud Aleph, which was Thursday's Amud, and that is why a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is considered 16 Amos. That's considered the shear for what would constitute a halachic Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And the Gemara explains that it's the size of the agalos. So remember, there are four agalos, but there are two that would be in two rows, so they'd be side by side. Each agalo is 5 Amos, so you have 10 agalos, 10 Amos with the two side-by-side agalos, but there's actually 5 amos in between. They were 5 amos apart. So you have 15 amos, because it's, right, one agala is 15 amos, is 5 amos. Then there's a 5 amos space, and then a 5 amos for the next agala. And then there was like a half an amos on each side for a levy that would follow along and make sure that nothing fell. So there was an extra amos, and that's the 16th. So we learn the 16 amos of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim from the two agalos and the space in between and the extra amma on the side. That's the first point, and the next two zichru points are going to be on Amud Beis. So I don't know where the Rav left off Thursday night, but we'll, I guess, start from the Gemara. We just saw a new Mishnah talking about the Chulia Sabor, the bank of the pit, meaning that you have a pit. And but around the pit there's like a rim made up of dirt, so it's a short wall, and we'll see what we mentioned in the Mishnah. We might as well start from the Mishnah. Chulia Sabor Vasela Shehin Gavon Vas, right, so you have the Chulia Sabor, which is this bank of the pit, Vahasela, also if you have a rock, Shehin Gavohin Asara, and they're 10 amos. Sorry, 10 tefachim, v'rachvan arba, and 4 by 4 tefachim. Hanotel mehen v'nosin al gaban chayev. If somebody puts something on the rock, or puts something in the bore, or takes something from off the rock, or takes something from out of this bore, right? Or right. So now, because again, it's 10 tefachim tall or deep, and 4 tefachim wide, it's considered Rishos Yachid, so therefore, Chayiv. Pachos Mikain, if it's less than this, though, it's not considered Rishos Yachid, and then it is Pater. It might be a Carmelis, but you're definitely not going to be Chayiv for such a case. So now the Gemara begins, Lama Lila Misni Chulia Sabor V'Hasela. Why do we have to learn these two cases of Chulia Sabor and the Sela, that the bank of the pit and the rock? Lisni habor v'hasela. Let it just teach the pit and the rock. Now it teaches the pit and the rock to teach us. Rashi elaborates that the pit and the rock are two paradigms. The pit is depth, and the rock is height. However, the bank of the pit seems unnecessary. And if it was the bank of the pit, so, right, meaning let's say without the pit itself, so that must, you know, it would be basically the same thing as a rock, right? If we're just talking about the height of the bank of the pit, remember, the bank of the pit is like a wall basically around the pit. So if the wall around the pit is 10 tefachim high itself, so it's basically the same case as the rock. So why are we saying the bank of the two cases in the Mishnah of a rock and the bank of the pit? So the Gemara says, Messiah Leila Rabbi Yochanan, must be a proof to a support to that the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan, Dama Rabbi Yochanan, Bor Vachulyasa Mitzarfin Lasara, that a pit and its bank combine to be 10 tefachim. Meaning, let's say you have a 10 sorry, a 5 tefach deep pit, and a 5 tefach bank. So now the full height of the bor, if you include the depth of the pit with its wall around it, is 10 tefachim. So they combine, and that must be what this Mishnah is teaching us. Tanya Nami Hachi, we also learned a brisa to this effect. Bor b'shus harabim amuka yud v'rachava arba in mamal and heimena b'shabbes. So if you have a pit in a Rishus HaRabim that is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, making it a Rishus HaYachid, Ein Malan Himena B'Shabbos, you cannot fill it up on Shabbos, Ella Im Kain Asula Mechitza Gavoa Yud Tefachim, only unless you put a 10 tefach wall around it, making the whole area within a Rishus HaYachid. And then you'd be transferring from a Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, and that wouldn't be problematic. And now we just turned the omelet. The Ein Shosanei Mena B'Shabbos, and you also can't drink from it on Shabbos. There's a gzeira that prevents you from drinking from it on Shabbos. Elim Kain Hichnis La Rosho V'Rubo Rosho V'Rubo. Unless you have your head and your full, and the majority of your body in that space, otherwise where there's a gzeira, we're concerned. Right, Rashi says, L'amod al swasov l'shov b'kli, we're concerned that you might draw out in a kli, l'hachnis rosho l'chal av lishtos. Right, and we have a Mishnah to this effect earlier on Yud Aleph. And then the last case of the Brisa, which is the point that we're really trying to say, Ubor v'chuliosom it's darfin la sara, right? The bor and its chulia, its bank, combined to be 10. So that is the point that we were trying to get out. That's what Mishnah is trying to allude to, as this Brisa says explicitly, as was taught by Rabbi Yochanan. Boi mine Rav Mordechai mirava. Rav Mordechai asked a question from Rava. Amud berusho sarabim gavoha yud. V'rochav dalid v'zarak v'nach al gabav. So if there was a pillar in Rishus HaRabim, it was 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide, and so somebody throws something and then it lands on top of it. So what's the halacha? Mi amrinan hari akira v'isser, hari hanacha v'isser. Odilma came into Malkum Patur Kaasya Lo. Do we say that this is that you know he's definitely chayiv because there was an akira and there was a hanacha, right? He he's throwing this. He's in a Rishus HaRabim, and there's this Rishus HaYachid standing there in Rishus HaRabim. It's an amud, it's a pillar that's 10 tefachim and 4 tefachim wide. So this pillar itself is a Rishus HaYachid. He threw it from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. So his akira, he lifted it up in Rishus HaRabim, he threw it, and it landed in a Rishus HaYachid. So is that how, what we say? Or Dilma came into a Malkum Patur Kaasya Lo, or maybe since it came through a Malkum Patur, it's not the case. Because think about this: he threw it up. He must have thrown it over 10 tefachim. Right, in order for it to land on a 10 tefach pillar, it must have been in the Rishus HaRabim over 10 tefachim. And we've learned that if over 10 tefachim in a Rishus HaRabim is actually a Malkum Patur. So it's true, you picked it up in a Rishus HaRabim, and ultimately it landed in a Rishus HaYachid, but it passed through the Malkum Patur because it passed through the over 10 tefach airspace in Rishus HaRabim before it landed on this 10 tefach pillar. So perhaps the going through the Malkum Patur is enough to make him putter. So Amar Lei, Rav said back to Rav Mordechai, Masnisani, it's a Mishnah. Also, Shailei Rav Yosef, he brought it's an explicit Mishnah, he's saying. And therefore he brought the question, Shailei Rav Yosef. Amar Lei, Rav Yosef said as well, Masnisan he. Also, Shailei Abaye. So he asked the question to Abaye. Amar Lei, Masnisan he. And Abaye said the same thing. He said, it's an explicit Mishnah. Amar Lehu, so he said to them, Kulahu baroka da hadadi tapisu. As Rashi explains, all of you are spitting with the same spit. You have the same, sounds almost derogatory what he's saying, that you're all saying the same, pshat that I'm not maskutu. Amar Lei, Or maybe Amar Le, you don't hold of this. V'hatznag, we have a Mishnah. This is the Mishnah that Rav Yosef and Abaye were referring to, which they say easily answers Rav Mordechai's question. V'hatznan, but we learned in the Mishnah hanota mehen v'nosin al gaban chayev, that someone who takes it from them and places it on them. Saiv, right? So we know that we've spoken about something being placed on or being on a ten tefach amud, right? A ten tefach pillar, and we see that it's chayiv. So it doesn't matter that it went into makom patur for a little bit before it was placed down. Amar Lei, he said back to them, Dilma masnisin b'machat. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about, that the one that you're quoting, is talking about a needle, a machat, which Rashi says, machat de'eno gavoa, it's very low. So it's negligible how much time, or how much of the makom patur it's really in, right? Because right, if you throw it up, you throw this needle up, so it only has to be a less than like a millimeter or whatever it is, above this 10 tefach post. So it's barely in the Malkum Patur, right? If you're talking about, I don't know, a loaf of bread, right? So a loaf of bread is, you throw it up in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and in order for it to land on a 10 tefach, pillar, in order for it to land on that, that would need to, you know, be a few inches at least, a few tefachim, or even one tefach, into the Malkum Patur. But a needle is barely, if to land on a 10 tefach amud, would barely be in the Malkum Patur. So maybe that Mishnah that says Jechayiv is talking about a needle. So, as you might have been thinking, but the response is, but Machat Nami. But a needle as well. It's not possible that it didn't go at least a little bit. So yes, maybe it's only a milliliter, but it is, or a millimeter, but it is that much, right? It's at least a little bit into the Malkum Patur. So you have the same problem, right? If the post is 10 tefachim, and in order for it to have landed on the 10 tefach post, it must have been in Malkum Patur at least a drop. And that should be, and so the Shiloh would be the same either way. And of course, this Mishnah, as Rava, Abaye, and Rav Yosef are all saying, this Mishnah indicates that you are chayiv in such a case. So, how would we understand Rav Mordechai's question? So the Gemara says, offers two pshatim. De'islei morsha, right? So one possibility is that there's a morsha. A morsha is there Rashi over here? Rashi says it's a morsha. The morsha is a protrusion. Over here, Rashi says lesela morsha namuch miyud v'kevin dekula. Right. So basically, that there's a protrusion that's a little bit under the ten tefach thing. So basically, the needle would have landed on a protrusion of this nine tef, on this ten tefach post. So the protrusion itself is under 10 tefachim, but because it's considered part of this post, it's considered part of this Rosh Hashanah Yachid, even though, right, even though it's not 10 tefachim itself. So, meaning, over here, we have a case where it fell in the 10 tefach post, but in only 9 tefachim, but since it landed on the nine tefach high protrusion of the 10 tefach post, it would not be included. Sorry. It never had to have gone through the Malkum Patur, right? Meaning that, you know, he had this needle. I mean, this is how Rav Mordechai is suggesting that Mishnah can be interpreted. That Mishnah is not necessarily a case where anything was in the Malkum Patur for even a moment, because someone was in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He threw up a needle. The needle never went 10 tefachim high. It maybe went 9.5 tefachim in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And it landed, and therefore it was not Malkum Patur. It wasn't over 10 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So it went maybe 9.5 tefachim, and then it landed on the protrusion, a 9 tefach high protrusion in a 10 tefach of a 10 tefach post. So it's officially considered part of the post, landing on the post and part of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Now it landed in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and never entered a Malkum Patur. So of course this would be chayiv. However,
If it was at the top of the Ten Tefach post, then maybe we don't know. And that's sort of Mordechai's question. So he says, I can't derive the answer from the Mishnah. You guys are all spitting with the same spittle. I disagree. And another similar possibility, Inami, Deramia Bacharitza. Also, another possibility is that it was like, I guess, thrown onto a charitza, like a hole, a crevice in it, or maybe like thrown through it, right? And Rashi says over here, machat miyud ella lesoch yud. Right, so over here it didn't fall. I mean, it's the same idea there, right? That didn't fall onto it, but like kind of like landed right in a crevice in the top of it, so it didn't have to go up. It could have gone like directly soch, as Rashi says, right into it. So same basic idea. It didn't go enter the Makom Patur for even a moment. Okay. So that's the that's so that's sort of more the defense of Rav Mordechai's question against his Mishnah. It is a little bit of a stretch, and halacha we don't we seem to resolve it based on the Mishnah, meaning of Abaye, Rav Yosef. The way they understand the Mishnah seems to be how we would hold the answers to Rav Mordechai's question. But that is how Rav Mordechai explains his question, or defends the integrity of his question. Okay, so now let's get to some more questions. We have over here, Boy Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Yochanan asks, sorry. Sorry, I skipped a couple words. Omar Rav Mesha said, Boy Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan asked, Kosel Barashos Rabin Gavoa Yud Vein Ruch of Arba Umukaf La Carmelis. So you have a kosel, a wall in a Rishos Rabin, that's 10 Tvachim, and it's not high, and it's not 4 Tvachim wide. Umukaf l'charmelis. So now this wall is in a Rishos HaRavim and it surrounds a Carmelis. Rashi is like a bika, like an open space. So it was a Carmelis. Now it's surrounded by a wall that's 10 tefachim high, but not 4 tefachim wide. So the wall itself is not a Rishos Yachid, but va'aso Rishos Yachid. But it makes the inner space, the Carmelis, it turned that into a Rishos Yachid, right? So you have a wall in Rishos HaRabim that turns the Carmelis now into Rishos HaYachid. V'zarach v'nachal gabav, and now you threw something that landed on top of this, the wall. Now the wall itself is not a Rishos HaYachid because it's not 4 tefachim wide. However, it surrounds the Rishos HaYachid now. So mahu. So what's the halach over here? Mi'am rinan kevan de'inu ruch of dalid makam patur hu. So do we say that since the wall itself is not 4 tefachim wide, it's a makam patur, and therefore it didn't have a hanacha in a makam chiyuv? O dilma kevan da'aso rishos yachid keman de'male damya. Or maybe, since this wall, this 10 tefach high but not 4 tefach wide wall, made the space in the middle to be a rishos yachid, it's as if demali damya, that it's like fill, that the whole Rishos Yachid is like filled up, like the airspace is filled up, and therefore the top of the Rishos Yachid, sorry, the top of the wall is considered a Rishos Yachid just as much as the space on the inside, meaning that even though it's not the wall itself is not four tefachim wide, but it becomes part of the Rishos Yachid itself. So Amar Ula says Kavachomer. It's a Kavachomer. It's obvious that it would be considered part of the Rishos Yachid. La'cherem osa mechitza, la'atzmo lo kosukein. If for others, meaning something else, meaning this Carmelis space that turned it into a Rishos Yachid, it counts as a wall. So for itself, of course it is. And therefore, of course, this would count as a full Rishos Yachid, not a Makom Patur, and you would be Chayev. Rashi says Lachirim, Kol HaChalo Asu Rishos Yachid, Latzma Lokosha Kain, Rosh HaKosel, shouldn't the Rosh HaKosel also be part of the Rishos Yachid? And therefore the answer is definitely yes. That's how Ula understands it. Itmar Nami, it was also stated, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Rashi, Amar Rav, V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, right, they said, Kosa b'shus harabim, gavoha yud, ve'in aruch of arba, umukaf l'karmelis, v'asa b'shus yachid, hazorek v'nachal gabav, chayiv l'acherim, chayiv, l'acherim osa mechitza, la'atzma lo kol shakein, meaning basically, basically verbatim the same teaching supporting what Ula said. But Rabbi Yochanan asked a different question. Bor tishav akarim menu chulya. This is an interesting question. So you have a pit that's 9 tefachim deep. Va'akarim menu chulya. And then you, right, so 9 tefachim, it's not a Rosh Hashiachid. Therefore, if you take something out of that, you would not be chayiv, right? If you have a 9 tefach deep pit, again, there's no bank, right? Because if there's a bank around it, there's a chulya around it, then that one tefach, then you have a full 10 tefachim. But let's say there's no bank, it's just 9 tefachim, so you put something in, you take something out, that wouldn't be chayiv. Now, what if this is what you took out? Va'akarimenu chulya, but maybe you took out, over here, the chulia means like the sand at the bottom, v'shlema la'asara, meaning that you dug out of it one tefach. Now, it can't be, let's put the malacha of choresh, of plowing or digging aside for a moment. Let's not think about that, right? There are ways around it. It could be it was very loose. But the point over here is that it was 9 tefachim, and now you took out dirt from the bottom, which in the process turns it into a 10 tevach bor, which makes it a Rosh Hashiachid. So, v'ashleim ala asara, so mahu, what's the halacha? Akira schefetz v'asiyas mechitza b'hadei dadika asu, u'mechayiv. Do we see that the akira schefetz, that the akira, the lifting up of an object, over here, the object being the last tefach of dirt, and v'asiyas mechitza, and the making of the walls, right? Meaning you turned the walls of the pit into a 10 tefach wall, b'hadei dadika asu, that they happen at the same time, u'mechayiv, and therefore you bechayiv, meaning that when you take this tenth, when you take this, tefach worth of dirt out, so you're taking it out of a 10 tefach pit, even though it didn't become 10 tefach pit until just now, but it would count as you taking that 10 tefach pit and you'd be chayiv. Oh, lo mechayiv. Or maybe, no, maybe it's not the case and therefore you would not be chayiv. So, and then further in the question, v'im tim tzilomar, and if you're going to say, kevin de lohavi mechitza, sara meikara, lo mechayiv bor, yud, maybe you're going to say, well, if the mechitza it wasn't 10 tefachim from the beginning, you wouldn't be chayef, lo mechayef. So bor yud. So let's say you had a 10 tefach pit, right over here. Now this was a 10 tefach pit from the beginning. V'nasan lesocha chulya, and you place dirt into it, right? A tefach's worth of dirt. Umiyata. Right? Or maybe not even a tefach. It doesn't really matter how much. If it's exactly 10 tefachim, and you put really basically any amount of dirt, you're going to be mi'ata, you're going to be minimizing the shear. So, mahu, what's the halacha? Hanocha schefetz v'siluk mechitza b'hadei dadikasu? Mechayev? Hello, mechayev. Do we say that the placement of the dirt and the removal of the 10 tefachim of the wall take place at the same time, and therefore you place dirt into a bore that is now no longer 10 tefachim deep and therefore not a Rosh Hashiachid? Olo or mechayev, or do we say that's where you, and you say lo mechayev, or do we say no at the beginning meikara there was 10 tefachim and therefore that's how we look at the pit? So these are two very similar questions, meaning can the changing of the wall, meaning becoming less or more than 10 tefachim or not become 10 tefachim anymore, can that take place at the same time as the Hanacha or the Akira? So the Gemara says, Tipshut le mididay. Well, this is Rabbi Yochanan's question. Maybe you can answer it from a teaching of Rabbi Yochanan. It's not that we learned in the Mishnah. Hazorik arba amos, right? Rabbi Yochanan's not in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan is going to comment on the Mishnah below. Hazorik arba amos bekosel. So somebody throws something 4 amos at a wall, right? Let's assume exactly 4 amos, and it goes at a wall. So lemala me'asara, if it's above, we quoted this earlier, this case earlier, lemala me'asara, I think at the beginning of the Masechta. So if it's lemala me'asara, if it's above 10 tefachim, lemala me'asara tefachim, kizorek ba'avir, it's like you threw it in the air, right? So meaning you throw it at a wall and it's above 10 tefachim, it's as if you threw it in the air and therefore you're potter. Lamata me'asara kizorek ba'aret. And if it's anywhere under 10 tefachim, it's as if it landed on the ground. And ve'zorek ba'aret, it's arba amos chayiv. And of course, we know if you throw something on the ground at a four amos distance, you're chayiv. V'havinan ba, and we were like
discussing this and questioning this. Vazorik ba'aretz arba amos chayev. Sorry, I skipped line. I went back to the previous line. Vavinan ba'vaha lo nach, but it didn't land. Right? What are you talking about? You're saying if it's under 10 tefachim, you're chayev. It said you threw it at a wall. Von Rabbi Yochanan explained b'devela shmei nashaninu. It's talking about where there's like a fatty cake of figs that sticks to the wall. So that's the case we're talking about. So there actually is a hanacha when it's attached to the wall. It's thrown against the wall. It sticks there, and that's considered the hanacha. And therefore, we have a case of where you throw, if you throw it four amos, and if it lands over 10 tefachim on the wall, so it's stuck against the wall over 10 tefachim, so then it's considered as if you threw it in the air and you're putter. If it's under 10 tefachim, it's as if you threw it on the ground and you're chayev. So now, here's the question we ask on this. Vamai, but why would you be chayev in such a case? Hakomemayet me arba amos. When you throw the cake of figs against the wall, it's less than four amos now. The distance is less than four amos. Because we have to assume that the Mishnah, that this Mishnah is talking about exactly four amos. Or we, at least we definitely have room to assume that it means exactly four amos. Right? You threw exactly four amos. Rashi says over here, Vamai, Mechayev Hamas Nisan Dal Amos Ketani, Vafilu Mitsumsumos. Right? If the Mishnah says he threw it four amos, that means even if he threw it exactly four amos. And now, let's assume for a moment that, you know, this cake of figs, when it gets thrown against the wall, it becomes part of the wall itself. And if that's the case, then you, even though you really threw it four amos, but the wall now, once the cake of figs becomes attached to the wall actually becomes extended through the cake of figs. So let's say the cake of figs is, I think they're rather big. Let's call it one amma. The cake of figs is one amma. Or let's even call it half an amma. Okay? So the cake of figs itself is half an amma. And you threw it against the wall, but once it sticks against the wall, so you could say it's part of the wall, so you didn't throw it four amos, you threw it three and a half amos, because three and a half amos, because it hit the wall, so it didn't actually do the four amma distance, it only hit three and a half amos, because the cake of figs is now part of the wall. But we don't say that, right? We say you're chayev anyway. So clearly, what we're saying over here is, from the way we understood this Mishnah, that clearly it cannot become part of the wall at the same time as the akira or the hanacha, because this cake of figs, if that were the case, then this Mishnah could not say chayev. The fact that the Mishnah says you're chayev for throwing it four amos, exactly four amos, even though it becomes part of the wall and will detract from that four amos shear, so clearly it doesn't become one with the wall at the same time as the hanacha. So that's what the Gemara's suggestion, but the Gemara responds, no, that's not true. Hasam l'mavatale, hachal mavatale. Now there, it's not mevatale. Meaning Rashi says, Devela hilka devela hilka lav miutu. We don't say this. When it comes to dirt and a pit, the dirt and the pit is certainly becoming part of, or when the dirt is removed, it's certainly becoming detracted from the pit. And when the dirt is added to the pit, it's certainly becoming bottle and become part of the pit. However, the cake of figs does not become part of the wall. We do not say that it becomes part of the wall like dirt becomes part of the pit at the bottom. So therefore, it is not a good comparison, and we don't really have a proper answer to this question. Bai Rava, similar question. Well, actually, Gemara is going to say very similar. By Rava asked a question. Zarak daf v'nach al gabe yesedos. Somebody who threw a daf, a board, and it landed on top of pegs. Mahu. Right? So this is Rashi. Rashi, does Rashi help us out here? Yeah, Rashi says, so the yesedos are dako, shahiyu gavos yud. So they're thin pegs. That are 10 tefachim, vein rachavas dalad, but they're not four wide. V'daf ze rachav dalad aso rishos yachid, but the board is four tefachim wide. So basically, if you place the board on top of these pegs, you're going to have this space is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, so it becomes a rishos yachid. So the board being put on the peg is, so let's say you threw the board onto the pegs. So mahu, what's the halacha? Do we, and basically, it sounds like the same idea. We're saying that this throwing makes into Rishos Yachid. So now, is it considered that you threw it into the Rishos Yachid, even though it's being made into Rishos Yachid with the throwing itself? So my kamebaileg asked the Megara. So what's he asking? Hanachas chevetz v'asias mechitza v'hadei adadi kasu. Is he asking that? Is the hanacha of a chefetz, the placement of an object, and the asiyas mechitza, the making of the of Rishos Yachid, happen at the same time? Kasu, is that what he's asking? So Heinrad de Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. That was the same question. Kikam abaye le larava. That's Rabbi Yochanan. So what was the question to Rava? Rather, that Rava wasn't asking the same exact question as Rabbi Yochanan. Rather, this is what he's asking. Kigon, dezarak daf v'chefetz al gabav. No. He threw the board, and there was a chefetz. There was some sort of object on top of the board. So what do we say? Kevin debahade adadi ka'asu kanachas chefetz. Do we say because it's basically at the same time, right? So you threw the board and there's something on top of the board. I don't know, an apple on top of the board, and they land on the pegs. So now the apple, and the apple landed on the apple was on the board and it lands on the pegs. So do we say kasu kanacha shchefetz vasias mechitza dami odilma, or maybe kaven delo efshar delo midla pursa v'hadar nayich, but maybe say because it's not possible that the apple didn't get lifted a little bit, mildla porsa, lift a little bit, v'hadar nayich, and then fell, right? Meaning it bounced. If you have a board with an apple on it and you throw it on top of a bunch of pegs, so I mean it's first of all a cool trick that the apple stays on the board, but it's for sure going to happen that as the board is landing, the apple gets lifted a little bit and then lands. So maybe it's not considered exactly at the same time. Because it bounced a little bit, so maybe kaven delo efshar delo middle porsa v'hadar nayich. It's not possible that it wouldn't go lift a little bit and go back and rest. Kasias mechitza v'anachas chevetz dami. It's considered as if it's a sias mechitza. It's the making of a mechitza, and then the hanachas chevetz. So it's not exactly the same time. It must be off by a little bit. So teku, we're not even sure about that. Omar Rava, and Rava says, Pshitali, he says, we just asked a lot of questions. Let's get to a couple of things that are poshet. So Rava says, Pshitali, it's poshet to me, Mayim agavi mayim hainu hanachasan. Water that is on water. You have, piles of water. So that is considered its hanacha. That's its resting place. Rashi says, V'im natal miktasan v'hotzi. If you took some water from the top, it's considered a true akira, right? So even like there are layers, I guess, of water. That's considered. I don't know how deep it has to be, but you take the top layer of water, that is considered akira because it was resting. However, egos love hainu hanachasan, but a nut. Right, or echoes agave mayim, sorry, or nut rest that is on floating in the water is not considered a tanacha. Rashi says, "Nut l'misham lavakirahi." So if you pick up a nut that was floating in the water, that's not considered an akira because it wasn't considered resting. So that is the amud, and we'll just get to the zikr points. The other two zikr points we mentioned. The first one was the size of a rishus rabban being 16 amos, based on the 2 5 amma wagons, the 5 amma space in between, and the extra amma around that the levi would stand by. And then we have the next case, which is the status of a thin wall of a rishus hayachid. Right, if that meaning that if you have a wall that's very thin surrounding a Rishos Yachid, does that become part of the Rishos Yachid? And Ula said yes, it certainly does, right? Because this wall, even though it's less than 4 by 4 tefachim wide, it's less than 4 tefachim wide because it's the place within is becomes Rishos Yachid, so it too becomes Rishos Yachid. So that is point two. The status of a wall of a thin wall of Rosh Hashanah is part of Rosh Hashanah itself. And then the third thing is the discussion about throwing dirt into a ten tefach pit, taking the dirt out of a ten tefach pit. Does the mechitza and the hanacha or the akira, can that take place at the same time? So again, those three points are: first point is the why a Rishos HaRabim is 16 Amos, where we get that shear from. The status of a thin wall around a Rishos HaYachid, if it has the status of Rishos HaYachid as well. And the halachos of, if you throw dirt into a Ten Tefach pit, the fact that it's no longer a Ten Tefach pit, does that change anything? And so we said the Siman is a cheetah. I'm going to post this in the group, but I'll read it quickly. So there's the cheetah that escaped from the zoo, jumped over two spaced out wagons in a Rishos HaRabim, and he landed in a thin walled Rishos Yachid, kicking up dirt that landed in a pit 10 fucking deep. Right, so it sounds like a lot. But when you see it in writing, you'll just review it a couple of times, try to get that imagery. But again, there's a cheetah that escapes from the zoo. Cheetah reminds us, cheetah tzadi tes, sita, a cheetah escaped from the zoo and it jumped over two spaced out wagons in Rosh Hashanah, reminding us about the 16 amma of, based on the spacing out of the wagons. And it lands in a thin walled Rosh Hashanah. So you can imagine like a paper thin wall, and it kicked up dirt that landed into a pit of ten tefachim, making it no longer deep, no longer Rosh Hashanah.